to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Illusion of Difference, and I'm your host, Elondis. Today, I'm hoping to have someone that I always want to hear from everyone, but someone that I really like to hear from, especially today. This is a young person, an adult, but young. And I'd like to hear what this person has to say about race, and how they are feeling about the future, if it applies to this show. And I'm really looking forward to bringing Dee, she's using a name, Dee, into the show. So without any more waste of time, I'm going to say hello, Dee. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, good to have you here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, yeah. So what are your thoughts about the way this world or this country, let's just keep it to this country right now, the way this country is going as far as ethnicity, as far as inclusion, as far as equality, as far as Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream? What are your thoughts about how we're moving forward, how you fit in? Just tell me what you think.
Honestly, I don't think we're moving forward in the right direction we need to be moving forward. Most people, there's more people from different backgrounds and ethnicities and genders on TV and everything, but a lot of people use that in advertisement or movies and theater just to get more money off of it. So it's kind of more just oh, cool, we have that one black person or that one guy from Spain, and we're going to put him in the movie, and maybe more people want to watch it.
Hmm.
It's kind of just a lot of people like to profit off of diversity. Not to be inclusive and include everyone, just because we're all humans,
Yeah, and where do you see yourself in that, that whole picture that you just drew? It doesn't sound so including, but it does sound tokenism. That's what I used to call it and still do. We have our token black person. We have our token white person. We have our token. Do we have everybody? Okay, now we can go ahead and do so.
I
have in my notes that you are mixed. That's how you describe your ethnicity. And where does that leave someone who is mixed if they're looking for people in pigeonholes? What do you think? We're just sharing our thoughts right now, that's all.
I think it can be a little difficult, since a lot of people, they're like, oh, I'm black, I only hang out with black people. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? Doesn't make any sense. Or, a lot of people who have a mixed ethnicity, they are either, they don't fit well with one of their races or whatever, and then the other one, they're like, okay, I feel a little more comfortable here, but I'm always going to be a little different to them because I'm not exactly like them. And for me, I don't know, I feel like I have been used as a token black friend before. So
how did that feel?
Not great. And it's because it's always like everyone always says, well, I have this black friend, so I can't be racist. And the fact that you're saying that doesn't make any sense, where it's like, I have a gay friend, so I can't be homophobic. And just because you're friends with someone doesn't mean that I'm going to pat you on the back and say, oh, good for you, and you can still make all your racist and sexist jokes about everything. So.
Yeah, I've heard that before, where people actually at a meeting not too long, well, maybe it was about 3 months ago now. Time goes by so fast. I was asking a question that was open to the floor, and a particular person didn't like, based on his response, didn't like what I asked. And he said, went to, I have a black blah, blah. So, in other words, you can't question my reaction to anything, because I have a black, or that pigeonhole, and it was jarring for me. I didn't expect it, especially if the conversation was opened up to include I remember that, and I'm just wondering if that sits with your experience or your memory of different things, or do you just not even bother to discuss ethnicity or race? I try to stay away from race, the word, because it's contrived. Do you just tend to stay away from it in your social settings and things like that?
For the most part, I do, because everyone says we are different races, even though we are all humans. We all breathe the same air. We eat the same food for the most part, and we do the same thing. We just come from different backgrounds, and our ethnicities may be different. And our fingerprints. Everyone has completely different fingerprints. You can't find two fingerprints that are the same across all the humans here, but we're all humans, so.
I love that.
Yeah.
If you try to categorize people by their fingerprint, you'll be in trouble.
Exactly. There'll be billions of different categories.
Categories.
Every single human's going to have their own category.
That's I'm going to remember that. I love that. Yeah. And that's how silly it does seem. But the problem that people also run into, I like trying to give as many sides as I can, is the fact that we are in society separated according to how we look, and it's called race. And that history is still part of this country. So are we feeding into that same history where people are set aside and told you're not good enough because you're darker than I am, blah, blah, blah. Are we feeding into it when we use race to try to justify changing things?
I think so, because a lot of the times when we do see people who are darker, they're usually not portrayed in, big advertisements and stuff like that. I've always kind of noticed that it's more people who are more light-skinned that get more awards, more nominations, more anything, And but it's just even between, black people, one would say that, like a lot of darker black people are like, oh, well, you're just light-skinned, so we don't care about you, even though people who are light-skinned still get treated like a black person by everyone else who doesn't define themselves as black.
Yeah,
because they're still seen as black people. So I definitely see that a lot. And I've heard that a lot. And I don't know. I don't understand what the problem is with being dark-skinned. Anyone can be dark-skinned. I mean, if you go to Mexico, there are people who are really dark-skinned, or, It's not just black people. It's in India too, and in Pakistan. And so, I mean, you can be American and then have dark skin.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. So I'm hearing. Do you ever feel really frustrated or get angry about some of the things that you're seeing that they don't make sense to you, yet they affect how you live sometimes and even where you live based on how you look is still a consideration. How do you incorporate that into your life as you move forward into the next generation of people?
Well, it's kind of frustrating because everyone always sees race, no matter what you tell them. I mean, I can tell them I'm German, and they look at me like, well, "Are you crazy?" I'm like, "No, I was born in Germany."
And you're quite fluent.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not what people see. They don't see me being German. They're just like, "Oh, she has dark skin." And so, I mean, I've been called Puerto Rican before. I've been asked if I'm Puerto Rican, or they're like, "Oh, she's black." Just right off the bat, that's what I am because of my curly hair and my, I mean, semi dark skin. So, living in Eugene, Oregon specifically, that has been interesting. There's not a lot of diversity when it comes to ethnicity at all. I don't know. I have gotten some weird looks and comments or weird people just giving me stares and stuff like that, and different treatment from teachers. Gotten that before just because I was white.
What kind of, yeah. Do you have an example in particular that you can share as far as you're not in high school now, you're an adult, so... But it wasn't that far away. Do you have anything you could share about being treated differently in school because of the way you looked by teachers or students or whoever?
Yeah. There's been a couple of teachers. I've had a really bad experience with a French teacher and a math teacher. And both of them, my French teacher, she seemed fine the first day. And then she just talked to me or whatever, and I was like, "Oh, yeah, I speak German. I took some French. I took, like, 3 years of French, and I'm obviously speak English." And I don't know. They always come off as nice, and then next thing you know, they're aggressive and mean. And she always treated me differently, and I tried answering questions, and she'd always give me a zero for participation, even though I'd raised my hand. I knew what the answers were. I did all the homework. I only missed 3 days of that class, but she still ended up giving me a C, even though I got A's and B's on my tests and quizzes.
Mm.
So, and I was the only black person in that class. And, that was a little frustrating. And with my math teacher, I didn't know she was going to be my math teacher, but there's this whole thing where people kept pulling the fire alarms at school. And... we were all outside, and it was on our lunch break, and I was like, "Why can't I just leave? It's my lunch break. I usually leave and go grab some food. I'm hungry, and this is taking forever." And, like, a whole bunch of people were leaving and going to get food and coming back, and that person wasn't saying anything, that math teacher. But the second me and my friend, she's also black, we were like, "Okay, you know what? I'm hungry. Let's leave." We were leaving, and she, like, chased after us and was like, "Hey, you're not going anywhere. Like, this is the rules." And I was like, "There's literally someone who just came back with Starbucks and you didn't say anything. And there were two other white people who came back with Cafe Yum and you didn't say anything. And they're all leaving. But you wanted to pick the two of us out. I don't understand why." And I think she remembered me because the next trimester I had her for Algebra 2. And she would always get so mad at me because I would... be done with the work, I forgot what they were, but in the morning she'd have like three problems and we'd have to do them and she'd give us 5 minutes. And I'd always be done and then she'd always get mad at me because I didn't have my I had my pencil down. She's like, why aren't you doing anything? Because I'm finished, I'd always say. And it's just like she'd pick on me and get mad when I did the math equation differently because I learned it different at the German school. And then I'd still get the answer right, but she'd be so mad that I do it a different way. I'm like, there's multiple ways to answer a question. That's why it's called math, because you can figure it out in different ways. And that always irritated her.
So I'm curious, what that had to, that those kinds of experiences had to have, if I'm making an assumption that's incorrect, tell me, had to have made you angry on some level. What can you advise people who are in that kind of setting? What did you do to dispel that anger, and how well did it work?
Yeah, to be honest, I was very furious, and I wanted to do the same thing I did at the German school, which was make my teacher's life miserable, but my mom doesn't work at that school, so it was a little hard to do that and not get bad grades. Because the teachers, they always have, like, a say over your grade no matter what you do, which I think is ridiculous. And for the French teacher, I was just as respectful as I could be. I wouldn't talk in her class. I would do my homework. I'd take the tests and quizzes, you know, and I do the group work, but for some reason I always got picked on, even though I wasn't doing anything, which really irritated me. So she probably did get a dirty look or two, but I tried to keep my cool because in the end I did want to pass that class, and it was just 12 weeks, and I was like, I can do this, 12 weeks, it's all right. And I tried talking to the principal and my guidance counselor, and so I did the best I could to try to talk to them and be like, look at my grades, why did I get a C in this class, and explain to them what I was going through, but no one would really listen, so that kind of sucked. And same with my algebra teacher. I just kind of would get angry, and sometimes I'd annoy her. Like, she said no food in class, and I would eat, and that would annoy her, and she'd be like, well, are you done with your work? I'd be like, yeah, I've been done. So just get under their skin a little bit, just for my own pleasure, but for the most part, I tried to behave as much as I could.
Well, that's good, but yeah, getting under their skin, I can understand that, but it probably made more work for you to have to deal with the outcome of that, or the fallout from that. Let me take you back to the first day of school you remember, and you're going to this place that you don't know much about. You're going to meet new people your size and older and bigger. And if you don't mind, any of the questions I ask, you just say, I'm not interested in talking about that. That's fine. And all my guests can do that without any fallout. But what the first day that you remember going in, what was that like? What were some of the thoughts that were going through your head? Some of the things you noticed? Were you excited? Were you happy or nervous or a combination? Or do you not remember it? It could be that you don't remember. So I'm curious if you could go back to...
No? Yeah, I definitely remember the first day of school because I thought excited. Because it was high school, and everyone says high school is supposed to be better than middle school, which is a lie. It's honestly worse, in my opinion. And the first day of school was terrifying because the building itself, it was humongous. Like, that was the biggest school I've ever seen in my life. And it was overwhelming, and there's just a lot of people and a lot of moving around and a whole bunch of random people I didn't even know. And I went into the office because I had a map. I missed the orientation where they showed you around the school, but even then I wouldn't have remembered because it took me over a month to figure out the layout of the school without getting lost.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so I went into the office, and they're like, oh, yeah, your first class is here. Just go there and take a left and that and go in through this alleyway, and you'll be there. And I was like, okay, that wasn't helpful at all. And so I ended up being late to my first period, which was band class, and everyone was sitting in this huge circle, and there were so many people. And I get in there after the bell rings, and everybody looked at me, and I was like, oh, this is great. And there wasn't one person that was a different ethnicity other than white in that class.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Wow.
And that's when I was like, oh, my God, this is so weird. Yeah, it was very – even the teacher, it was so weird. It made me a little uncomfortable, but I was just like, is this the band class? And they're like, yeah, come sit down, find a chair. And I was like, okay. And then people stopped looking at me. But all the classes I had until I went to IHS, it was pretty much just all white people. And then when I had my two IHS classes, there was one black person and I think someone from India. But other than that, everyone was Caucasian.
Did you feel supported at home, or and again, you don't have to answer any of it, or was there any support in the school that you could access once you got acclimated to how different it is from grade school? Was there some kind of support?
I definitely had support at home. It was helpful. And my mom was helpful. You were helpful. That was nice. But the school, I don't know. They seem to be understaffed, and the people who are supposedly there to help you don't even know what's going on, and they just kind of mumbo-jumbo everything and wing it. So that was not helpful at all, because ever since I went to that school, I had issues with my schedule. All 4 years, I had something wrong with my schedule, and it was annoying and bothersome, and I always had to fix it, and I always had to go through all of this stuff just to change it to get what I needed to get the classes and the credits and stuff. So that was a little frustrating. And there was, like, student unions, like the Black Student Union and stuff like that. I tried going to those, but I don't know. There wasn't much going on, and there weren't many, like, people who came and spoke for us, or we didn't get to perform anything or talk about, like, you know, any sort of history. It was just kind of like, oh, we'll meet up every Wednesday and, you know, talk about some stuff. But I think a couple of the student unions were in the some of the assemblies a couple of times, but I don't. No, it wasn't that often. I don't know. That school wanted to be diverse, and it wants to be, like, they want everyone to be an equal, which is what they always say they do, but there's absolutely no diversity. There's no equality there. They just make it seem like it is.
That's unfortunate, but I think, you know, now that you're out of school and high school and into the adult world, so to speak, then that's pretty much the way it is. People talk about diversity, or maybe they don't even use the word anymore, I don't know. But there's not much. It's like, here's how I see it. I'd like to put my words in a little. I see it as going back to when we didn't have half the rights or equality to speak of in this country. It's like we got to a certain point where we needed to become free, and then get the right to vote, and moving forward that way. And now it seems like we're still talking about black people and white people, but we're not doing anything different. And when you stand still, I do know that you fall back. And that seems to be where we're going. We're going backwards. There's a movement to limit the availability to people here to vote and making it more difficult. And I'm not getting into Democrats and politicians and things like that because I think there's enough blame to go around. So I'm wondering, do you what do you do with the fact that this is Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, day, not his birthday, it's his day we recognize him. So we haven't, we're kind of going backwards from where he left us. The work that he and other people did was really important, and he gave his life doing it. And I know I'm not saying anything derogatory about that, but I am recognizing the fact that there seems to be something that we as the next generation need to do in order to build on what has been done in the past, the sacrifices of human beings, white and black, yellow, all of them, working together. So I'm wondering if you had have any thoughts about where we're headed now based on where we came from in this country.
I think we're just kind of at a standstill where there's some things that you would never expect to happen, you know, like the Black Panther movie. That was something where I was like, whoa, I never thought I'd see that many black people in a movie, and it was them, and they are the main characters, not the first person who dies,
yeah.
You know? stuff like Janelle Monáe, just seeing someone who sings and acts and is, like, more of a mainstream person but isn't, like Kanye West or Travis Scott or people like that, where they're like, they're black, but they don't use their platform in the proper way. They just kind of use it because they have that platform and they just want to make more money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, doing what they want to do as an artist and expressing their feelings and their emotions and their thoughts. I feel like that's what artists do, and that's what they should do, because that's what art is. And a lot of people who have big platforms don't do that. They just kind of do what the world wants them to do, which, you know, it sucks, but that's how people get that famous. And so I don't feel like we're moving forward in that way. And I'm like, sure, a song can be catchy, but why did you have to go through, what did you have to go through to put that song out? And look what all those other people are thinking when they hear that song, or when they see that movie, or whatever, or when they see that you're saying that you're going to vote for Donald Trump, you know? It's all very interesting, and humans in general, like, no one cares about this planet. Everyone just cares about money and how much they can make and how big their house can be and how many cars they can have and properties they can own. So it all comes down to the human race, not just black people, white people. You know, it's just who can make the most money and who can own the world, pretty much. But soon there's not going to be a world to own because of all the destruction that we're doing and damage, and the world is kind of just crumbling at this point.
Well, I will say something to you, and I mean it. You and people like you, the next generation, you give people like me hope. Just the fact that you see what you see and you don't ignore it gives me hope that we will turn the corner and find the next level of addressing bigotry and misogyny and all of the things that seem to hang on. and come back up in different ways. With each new generation, pops up with a different in a different way with a different generation. So I hope you will feel inspired, and because your generation inspires me, your energy, your clarity, your courage to speak your truth is encouraging to me and to others who see you. And at this point, I think it's probably, let's see, we have time. You have any last thoughts or anything that you can share that inspires you, that kind of thing to say? So we're going to leave on a good note.
Mom, and what inspires me is that more people are starting to actually notice that the planet is dying, and it's dying rapidly. Mm. So there's been like solar panels and stuff, and people go out and volunteer to try and clear the trash or donate money to help save exotic animals that are going to die out eventually. But unfortunately, there's only so much, you know, a handful of people can do. So I guess it slows down the process a little bit, but until those people with a lot of power and money decide to make a lot of changes, then the environment is still gonna slowly get worse. But hopefully in the future, maybe people who are born into wealthy families, maybe they'll use that money for something good, and they will change their minds and change how they do things, and maybe the environment will start thriving again.
Let's hope that's the case. And with people like you around, I'm sure it will be. So at that note, I want to thank you for being here and for sharing your thoughts. Appreciate your presence and your perspective. And I'm going to say goodbye. Yes. That's all I have today. Until next time.
Until next time.
Welcome to Illusion of Difference, I as Creator, with your host, Elondis Lake. Our search for unity starts within. Our quest for safety starts within. Once we understand the role difference plays when building community, we can release what we are holding back. We can learn from life's challenges. We can become who we are meant to be.